Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 74, Episode 2 of Your Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America Share Consciousness. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Ooh-wee-ooh, I look just like Buddy Holly. Oh-oh, and you're Mr. O'Brien. I don't care what they say about Miles of Gray. I don't care about Jack.
Well, oh, there it is.
Heyo, courtesy of at Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Said you gotta fight for your sight to Miles Gray.
Wow, only know how to fucking scream that or else it sounds really lame. Not that that sounded any better, but thank you to Andrew Thomas at APThomas24 for that one.
That was really good, and I feel like we, Jamie and I, failed. I'll introduce our second, our third guest. We're thrilled to be joined by the original J-Lo, Lil Zam, first face on Mount Zeitmore. She's Jamie Loftus.
Yeah, do you even Jamie lift us, bro? Is a favorite one I've been waiting to use forever.
Jamie lift us, bro?
Jam Zam, thank you, ma'am.
Wow.
The Sugar Plum Furry, don't love that one. I'm just reading off one that I've got going. I don't have a sing one today.
I was just gonna say, I think
the founder of Cracked.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The founder of Cracked. That's right.
Hell yeah. Whenever he says co-founded, he always
leaves room to
acknowledge you.
I was taking up too much space. Yeah.
Right. Make yourself smaller with your voice.
I was a big fan of that growing up, like in high school and middle school.
Yeah, so, it really did kind of like open my eyes.
You did a great job.
A lot of things.
Cool. Not to impugn your musical accompaniment. I think I fucked up the musical accompaniment, and then either you nailed it and I just had a different song in my head, or you fucked it up in a completely different way.
That's fair. Either way,
Miles, I apologize. I feel like we failed you.
No.
Yeah, it took me a second. It took me, you came in so, you know, it's like when someone starts their performance and you're just like, whoa, I mean, just in awe.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I'm like, oh no, I'm in the band. Yeah. You know when drummers forget to start drumming?
You know when that happens?
3, 4. Jamie.
That would happen to Ringo all the time. It'd be like, man, John Lennon's so talented,
right?
And then he forget to drum,
right? We're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first, Jamie, we're gonna take our listeners through a few of the things we're talking about today. Talking about Captain Marvel.
Yay.
Continuing to just destroy the box office. You're gonna get the rare content recommendation from Miles and I. We're going to talk about a bunch of politics stuff, Kirsten Gillibrand, Ben Carson, what he's been up to.
All the greats.
All the greats. Trump and just his angry, angry weekend and all sorts of stuff. But first, Jamie, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I've got two because Miles just made me Google something before we started. My first one was going to be Joe Rogan Savage Moments.
Nice.
Because it's a search that will bring you all sorts of things. It'll bring you moments that are not savage. It'll bring you mostly Joe Rogan sweating. But I am very fascinated from a cultural perspective of the Savage Moments subgenre of YouTube.
Yeah.
Every prominent figure, but usually like vaguely right-leaning assholes have, I mean, the Ben Shapiro Savage Moment, there's feature-length Savage Moments reels of him just being
just owning the libs.
Just absolutely demolishing the libs. But they're, yeah, I've been doing a lot of research on how, like, people like Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla and all those people they're not outright the worst ever, but they lend their platform to people who are the worst ever, and that's like the beginning of the YouTube algorithm fuckery. And so and that starts in the Joe Rogan Savage Moments genre.
You know who also has Savage Moments mashups? A lot of divas.
Yes.
Like there's a J-Lo one. so shady. Those are savage moments I can get behind.
Those are, I mean, there is a savage, there's the good side of savage moments, and then there's the dark side.
Everything has two sides. We all know this.
There is, and then the thing I searched for miles right before you came in, Jack, was Jay and Silent Bob do Degrassi.
Wait, did you ever see that happen?
Because we were reminiscing about our Kevin Smith memories we have, and then she was like, yo, did you know Jay and Silent Bob were even on Degrassi? I did not know, or Degrassi, however you say it, did not know.
It came out in 2005. Drake was still there. This was like peak me. I built my life around Degrassi.
Peak DraftKings.
Peak DraftKings. We were all there.
Inside joke for nobody.
Well, Jamie referenced a period of time in the past as peak DraftKings.
It was early 2015. That was peak DraftKings.
Peak DraftKings.
That's before they knew it was illegal. But
it was the late aughts. DraftKings was king.
DraftKings.
On every corner.
There was a DraftKings on every corner. Yeah.
They controlled this neighborhood.
There was a doo-wop group on every corner.
But Jay and Silent Bob, they just went to Degrassi in 2005 and they built a whole special around it. It was a big deal.
What
and
was the like lesson?
The less they just were like, yeah, we were looking for a cool high school to shoot our movie at. And,
oh, really?
Her name is high school called Degrassi, and everyone in Degrassi, it's crazy because it's like I didn't know who they were.
Right.
And everyone who was watching that show was my age, so I don't think anyone my age knew who they were, but everyone at Degrassi was like, oh my God, Jay and Silent Bob. I was like, how do you know who they are?
Right.
I don't know. It was a good special, though.
That's actually remarkable because you think about it. Like what, Clerks came out in 94, 95 or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's before you were born.
They're literally kids who are not up on black and white weird indie darling film
right.
cult movies.
But everyone at Degrassi was like, this is unbelievable.
What's the connective tissue between Red Bank, New Jersey and Degrassi High School? You know what I mean?
I would like, to guess it has something to do with the original Degrassi series. Because I feel like the original Degrassi series was airing during peak Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really
know. I don't
know.
We'll have to find out. Yeah. I'm sure some Canadian Zeitgang or New Jersey Zeitgang will know.
Yes, please.
Please enlighten us.
Please.
What is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated is the music of Dori Previn. Is anyone familiar with Dori Previn?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, so I was doing research for an episode of Bechdelcast where we just did Rosemary's Baby. So I was reading a lot about Mia Farrow. Anyways, Dori Previn was a songwriter for a lot of famous movies in the 50s and 60s. And then her husband left her for a very young Mia Farrow. She had a lot of mental illness struggles, and she made some of like the best, like some of my favorite music ever was she wrote after she had spent all this time in mental institutions. And she just wrote like talk about savage moments. She wrote some of the best, like most concise call out songs. But they're folk songs. It's just like everyone should check out her music. She's like so extremely slept on. And her husband was also a famous musician, Andre Previn, and he just died. But like all of her solo work is so good, and it's all like it's like about mental health, but it's also like fuck Mia Farrow. It's like it's about everything, and she has like a very fascinating life story. I want there to be a movie about her. I just love her so much. And so she's always underrated.
I mean, just reading about some of the way she writes is very, very interesting. Like, very heavy subjects, but that's interesting that it's approached, like, through folk, like, the folk genre.
Yeah.
But talking about, like, Stockholm Syndrome.
But the songs are, like, funny and self-aware. Like, the subject matter is tragic, but she makes it so, like, accessible and interesting to listen to. And
so like Weird Al.
Check her out. Yeah, she's like kind of the Weird Al of her time.
Got it. Okay.
But I love her.
Beware of Young Girls. Is that one about Mia Farrow?
Beware of who come to your door.
Wow.
And fuck your husband. That's not how it goes.
And fuck your husband. Yeah. Husband
very
fuck her,
right? Direct.
Fuck your husband, whatever.
Yeah, it gets real, really petulant by the second verse.
Kind like, of I don't care.
Like, I'm like, fine. Like, I'm actually not even writing it because it bothers me. I'm just writing this because that's the truth.
She also wrote the theme song to Valley of the Dolls. That's probably her most famous like mainstream work. But she wrote all this movie music.
Damn.
Dori. R.I.P. Dori. She's the best.
That's awesome. She passed in 2012.
Yeah.
Many years ago. So I called 2010 not that long ago recently. Like, so
I mean, 2012, that's like pre-DraftKings.
So right.
That's,
yeah, like,
that's a fucking wild.
Is that PDF? Pre-DraftKings?
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, overrated is forming an impromptu friend group. I got stranded.
Wait, what?
Okay. I got stranded in Indianapolis last night. I came here from the airport. I've been wearing these clothes for 3 days. But I got stranded with a few other people and in Indianapolis last night. The airline all sent us to the same hotel. And we were all, you know, it was kind of a Breakfast Club vibe. Everyone had a different story. We weren't all going to the same state. We had all missed this connecting flight. And one of the guys, who was the worst of them, was like, what if we all just went to the bar and got to know each other? It was on St. Patrick's Day. It was just like this Indianapolis hotel bar. Everyone was blackout drunk. And there were like three of us. We had nothing in common, nothing to talk about.
I have so much anxiety.
I know.
It was, this sounds like my fucking literal nightmare.
And I'm not good at like, I mean, I should have just been like, no, I'm tired and my flight is at 6 a.m. But I was like, he was a salesman, man. And he was a salesman.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, do I do it for the story?
Right. He was just like, no, I mean, this could be, maybe this for a reason. And right. Like, maybe.
Wait, describe the participants. There's Jamie Loftus, famous prop comedian and feminist icon.
And Mensa. Very hurtful. it's me. It's the ringleader, who I would say was maybe in his early 30s.
Uh-huh. And salesman.
A salesman. I don't know of what. He just like, I work in sales. I was like, okay, cool.
Just doing my own thing.
And
right
you
now.
Didn't ask him to elaborate? I mean, that's a golden opportunity to really hear about the process.
He did that horrible thing that guys do sometimes where he kept reminding me he was engaged. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen?
But he's like, hey, you want another beer? I'm engaged. So, right. Just, you know.
He's like, let's all hang out. I mean, like, I got a fiance and everything. I was like, do you think we're going to fuck you? It was me. And then there was like a woman who was maybe in her 50s and very like wanted to be there even less than I did. I know basically nothing about her except that she's just trying to get home to her kids.
Somehow been dragged into Blackout Fest 2019.
Now I'm picturing the mom from Home Alone here. I'm sure that's what everyone else
Catherine
is
O'Hara?
Picturing. Yeah,
she was so tired. And we just got steamrolled by this fucking chode who just didn't want to eat mozzarella sticks by himself. And we all got shuttled back to the place together, so that was where the idea came from.
Oh, it's like we're not just all gonna go back to our rooms, right? It's early. Oh,
and also they're like, dude, United gave us a $10 food voucher. Do you think I'm gonna not use that? And that was the argument that I was like, damn, they did give us a $10 food voucher.
I've been checkmated.
I could get two Blue Moons. That's two Blue Moons in Indiana.
Oh shit.
$10. So
then you gotta use that.
I did.
In my mind, $10 doesn't even get you a beer at a hotel in LA. So I'm
exactly. And I was like, oh, okay, Indianapolis Airport Hotel. That's two beers for the $10 food voucher. But it was fucking painful. I was like, hey, did everyone see Captain Marvel? And the guy was very much like, he didn't say like, don't care for women, but basically did.
Right.
He was like, not for me, not for me.
Not
like,
for me,
right.
Based on her comments
tour. Yeah. I'm not into chick flicks. Somebody called Ocean's 8 chick flicks or a chick flick to me. I was like, because it's women?
Yeah, what else would you call it?
Right. Have strange misadventures when you go to Indianapolis?
Or Indiana last time?
Well, yeah, because last year it was that guy Tim but the guy who was like vice president of Gays with Guns.
Wait, I like how you even make it more specific. You can actually connect those two.
But that's a crazy thing about, and then he was like gentrifying that neighborhood and he had like those apartment buildings and was like, look at the apartment buildings.
But it was like an Airbnb sitch.
Very
but he's
cursed
like,
Airbnb.
Have wine?
Yeah, and yes, we got very cool. We got fucked up, and he had so many guns. So this year was way, way better. I want to say I love performing in Indiana. It is the absolute best. There were so many Zeitgang people who were at the show, including Joey, who I promised to give a shout out to because today is his birthday.
No, yeah. He said he loved you in that tweet, and then after the fact was like, oh, I love to the rest of y'all too.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Joey.
Glad you could think of us. Glad you could remember who we are, Joey.
It's always like the outside of the shows, my social interactions in Indiana have been universally very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell but yeah. I feel like every time a comedian is asked about like surprisingly great places or like their favorite places in America to perform, Indiana's like always in there for some reason.
Yeah, it is. It's a blast. Yeah. I just wish I hadn't been trapped there with those two people who did not want to talk to me.
And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That Irish people have a good sense of humor about themselves. It's around.
Whoa.
Listen, I'm half Irish.
Okay.
I'm half my yeah. So.
I'm just curious. Not that that was an interesting take. I'm like, what? Where? What happened?
Jack's gonna fight me. No, it's around St. Patrick's Day every year. This pops up between my former coworkers and I at the Boston Globe, where I wrote a piece in early 2015. Peak DraftKings.
Okay. Yeah. PDF.
And
picturing it. Okay. Yeah.
I wrote a piece about I just shadowed a bartender. In Southie in Boston during St. Patrick's Day, and just wrote about his day and like how crazy it was, and everyone was drunk and all this stuff. And for some reason, like someone had a vested interest in going after the people who wrote for this website at this time. And there was the Boston Globe, and it was like a separate. It was Boston.com. It's right. Needlessly complicated, yeah, yeah. But the Boston Herald published a print story the next day about how I was wrong to say that people were drunk on St. Patrick's Day
in Boston,
and they got a state representative to
condemn
make a
you?
Quote against me. Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. Every day is a drunk day in Southie, but St. Patty's Day runs by a completely separate set of laws. Wrote Loftus, whose website says she's also a stand-up and sketch performer.
How do they convey that disgust in that text?
And then, quote, "I'm surprised such bigoted views are still tolerated at Boston.com," said U.S. Representative Stephen Lynch.
Right.
"It's very disrespectful," added former Mayor Raymond L. Flynn.
Oh,
"We experienced the finest day of our lives yesterday with family, faith, and friends. We could dismiss these comments as from uninformed people. They don't know us."
Yeah.
Holy shit.
St. Patrick's Day for Irish people is usually about faith.
They fucking came for me.
Yeah, when I saw what was going on in the Sunset Strip yesterday, it looked like a lot of people, faith-based.
Yeah, just a lot of prayer.
Activity.
Yeah.
I mean, in that bar in Indianapolis, we were all praying.
Yeah, I mean, Colossians 3:8, I believe, says, "Vomit in the streets to show thine faith."
Yes, exactly.
So,
I mean, I learned.
Yeah, you don't have to be, obscure what St. Patrick's Day is about. I get maybe some people want to respect it for that day. A lot of people just take it as drink fest in March.
That's
all.
Yeah.
Anyway,
shout out to Irish music to get the Irish back on our side.
Whoa.
I went to a couple of things of like live Irish music, and one of them was good.
Yeah,
hell yeah!
Like some fiddling.
Yeah, yeah, like fiddling
yeah.
and like
music.
Weird
yeah.
instruments that. And there's like a woman dance, like doing the jig thing that.
Oh, man.
Is sort of
took
a dance.
Those classes, the Irish dancing classes. It's hard.
Listen to these great Irish Americans still holding up their tradition.
Yeah.
You know, weird instruments and that lady doing that fucking jig thing.
It was a lot of fun. Anyways,
yeah.
I just wanted to honor the my heritage with that hyper-specific call-out of an art form that I am very well acquainted with.
That one guy was playing on that stick
and we
the low whistle.
And we love that about them. We love that.
Yes. All right, let's talk about the box office, guys. It's been a bad couple weeks for those dudes who stage boycotts every time a movie comes out starring a woman or a black person, because Captain Marvel is destroying at the box office. Jamie, you just did a great episode of your podcast, The Bechdel Cast, about Captain Marvel, but it's had one of the best holds in its second weekend out of any Marvel movie, and it's just doing huge, huge business.
Last Tuesday, it had like the biggest Tuesday in a March for a film.
Yeah, it's
I think
just
after Beauty and the Beast. Also
I still don't get why people loved that movie, but that's a whole separate discussion. But yeah, no, I'm stoked that it's.
Oh,
I mean,
Beauty
I'm
and
not,
the Beast.
Yeah, Beauty.
Okay, just to be clear.
No.
Captain Marvel.
I
don't know why. Right.
What if that was my take and I just won against
Beauty
everything?
And the Beast, you're like, what? No, we're talking about Captain Marvel. No. Oh, okay.
No, I thought Beauty and the Beast was scary to watch. Captain Marvel is like it does the best for like for a family film too, like a role model like her, and just even when I went to see it, for the small gripes that I had with it, like seeing an audience full of like, it was mostly kids, and Edgar was there weirdly.
Those two things were not
dressed
related.
As a kid.
Edgar like, was right, not guys? There with a bunch of kids. He just happened to be there.
He happened to be there, and then we watched.
Y'all
it.
At the same showing?
We were at the same showing, and then we saw each other, and we watched the very end together.
He's like, "You here alone too? Okay, cool. Can we sit together?"
There, no, Edgar was there with friends. I was there by myself. Oh.
I love and watching movies by myself.
I do too. And then Edgar did that thing. God damn, he was just like, "You want to come sit with us?" I was like, "Yes."
Because you're like in the back corner by the fire exit.
Miles, what's going on? There were two of our sister network's cultural podcasts there, and neither of us made it. We got to work harder.
It's because we're not very social.
That's true.
Wait, you guys
you got a family,
free in the
and I have
of the
anxiety.
Day, like being like also being.
It was a matinee.
It was a matinee on a weekday too. Yeah. So.
Oh, we can. Put this show on the side to hang out, you know. Yeah. We're down to hang, you know.
You guys chill?
If y'all would hit me up, you know, I'll probably be there.
But you guys were saying on Bechdelcast that, like, there's no love interest, which I hadn't really thought about, but, like, in Wonder Woman, like, Chris Pine's there for some reason. Like,
for some, I mean, I thank you for saying which Chris it was, because I cannot distinguish.
I think I got
so
it right,
many.
Right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's no room for a love interest in that story. Just, like, you don't need it.
Jam-packed.
Yeah.
That she doesn't have, like, revealing clothing. She's not, like, all smiley and warm. Like, I think you guys were pointing out that typically if a Hollywood studio is going to put a big gamble on a movie starring a woman, they're like, okay, but here's what we know about women, guys.
Right.
They're half naked all the time on an island with each
other. They're naked. They're horny. Right.
Right.
They're
what
unable
else?
To control their emotions.
Yeah.
There has to be a there's no makeover sequence in this movie, which feels like a miracle. I'm sorry, Miles. I know you love makeover.
Without like the gay best friend being like, honey, we need to give you a makeover.
Right.
Work.
Just like queer code, they'll never say, and we never see them again.
Right.
That's a really good point, though. Wonder Woman does have a makeover scene
where she
like goes into the store and like tries to dress like a lady.
These glasses? No, these glasses. And they're like, are you fucking kidding me? So I'm, it definitely, and I just like love Brie Larson too and everything she like stands for. She's
yes.
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep going out and seeing this if you haven't seen it already.
Edgar and I are going to go again. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and it's time to check in on the race for the White House 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we found out who some of the Democratic candidates are.
Yeah.
Apparently,
so many.
There's more than just two this time. But yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand has announced she's running, which it's not a Mandela effect. It's, I think, a confusing rollout because she went on Colbert and had a moment where she announced she was, quote, putting together an exploratory committee.
Now, would you call that a moment or a savage moment?
It was savage.
Definitely savage.
Oh, okay. For sure.
Colbert, like, blew out of his seat right
I'm
after.
Just not here to, I don't have time for moments.
Right. But I guess the theory is that you announce your exploratory committee and then you announce that you're actually running. And,
I mean,
like,
you don't even
you
have to do that.
Pops from it in the.
Right. But even then, everyone, like, the way everyone responded to her saying that might as well have been the announcement. Because let's be real, you're forming that committee because you're more than likely about to run.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so, you're on a show. Like, it's...
Yeah, it was a weird time to use a show, like, to be like, and I'm putting together a committee. Not yet, though.
Right.
Don't get your hopes up.
It's
I'm
like, this
dabbling.
Isn't...
But then now, you know, she put out the video to say, yes, I am entering the race. I'm going to be brave 2020 or something around bravery is the theme. But she did it like everyone else has done with the most vague video possible.
Right.
So you can't quite figure out what the platform is.
Did you guys talk about how when Beto O'Rourke announced his candidacy, how his wife didn't talk in the video?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Just silently stood behind him or sat next to him
terrifying.
And just nodded at him.
It was like, there's definitely an Ariel the Mermaid vibe. I was like, right. Does she have, can she speak?
Oh, no, right. Ursula took it.
Ursula took it. Nominate me so I can recapture my wife's voice from the evil sea.
I'll kiss her before the sun sets on the third day if you vote for me. Right.
But yeah, so we'll see what happens. It was a lot. It was like a almost 3 minute video with a lot of stuff about, like, you know, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I'm transparent. And look, it's all nice, but you know, there's so many candidates right now. It's hard for me to know who I like if I don't know what you're actually going to try to do as a president. Like, I think, but I guess that's, you know, that's a strategy. You got to keep it vague up top because you want enough people to be like, oh, okay, this video was non-specific enough that I feel like I can warm up to this candidate. Then we'll let policy positions come out slowly.
So she says it's the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, but that's, she says, something that's unique.
Ballsy.
But she says, if you look at the lyrics, it's actually asking the question if this country is.
So
we have to confirm that in fact it is.
Right.
If there's anything I've learned over the past few weeks, it's that announcing you're running for president is so embarrassing.
Yeah. It's like telling someone you have a podcast at this point.
Yeah, right. It is. It's usually like, yeah, I mean, like, I understand why I'm doing it, but I don't feel good telling you that I'm doing it.
Right.
So if you would participate in it, but also no pressure.
No pressure. Like,
I know
up to
it's
you.
Like, not cool.
Because I'm not like super aggressive about it. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of whack, but.
And then be really vague about what the podcast is about. If you're too specific, it's weird.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right.
That's what I tell people. Oh, it's about culture.
Right. You know? Uh-huh.
I do feel like as of right now, with a few exceptions, the 2020 Democratic announcements have mostly been about, like, game theory more than anything. It's just, like, everybody positioning themselves relative to everybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, if somebody adopts something that people see, like, give them a little bump in the numbers, then everybody adopts it really quickly.
Right.
So that, like, everyone's huddled together and nobody, like,
it's
separates.
Like Green New Deal. It's like, yeah, oh, I think that's tight.
Right.
Any other opinions on it? I agree. Right. I like that. Yeah. Like, right. What about Medicare for All? Oh, yeah, that's chill too.
But there's a question mark at the end, like, I like that. And then it's like, oh, no, I don't.
Right. Okay. I mean, I think, you know, Elizabeth Warren, credit to her, she's actually been putting out, like, policy papers where you're like, here's my plan for unfucking housing,
right.
And like, then erasing racist housing practices. And even Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, we know he's like, climate change.
Right.
I'm trying to do something about it. So I'm like, okay, there's a climate change guy. There's the other person. Everyone else just seems like they're only in buckets of, like, are they Green New Deal or are they Medicare for All? Or are they not?
And I appreciate the candidates that have been putting something out. Like,
yeah.
They're like some sort of like, oh, you have prepared for this.
Right.
Yeah. And cool. Again, it's early. So there, like you say, Jack, it's a lot of gamesmanship, game theory going on to figure out, you know, what do I,
or
what do I really
on the
throw
cover of a magazine just being like, I wanna. I want it.
I know.
Okay, fine.
He's got good momentum. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Yeah. So taking a step back, let's look at 4 years ago. There was also a crowded Republican nomination process going on. And one of the hot out of the box candidates was the always vigorous and exciting Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson, Dr. Ben T.
The woke doctor himself.
Yes. Who's always appears to be half asleep. So he did not win. I don't know if you guys were into politics, but he didn't win president.
Oh, okay.
But he
did
get
really close.
Right. But he did get the job of running HUD from the guy who won, which is Donald Trump.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if you guys.
The guy from the Pizza Hut commercial.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I liked his work there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happened to that?
I don't know. I guess he's. Oh, Pizza Hut. I don't know.
He's doing. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But this has always been very weird that he's running HUD because.
It never made sense.
It never made any sense. He's not a person with any experience in policy, he's a person with experience in pediatric brain surgery.
Yeah, maybe Trump was like, don't worry, Ben, it's not brain surgery.
Running HUD. And he liked the joke so
like,
much.
Yeah, he's
like,
five.
He's like, I'm honestly, guys, running HUD is just like, and he's like, okay, I'll take the job.
And do you think it was maybe because it had HUD is housing and urban development?
Of course, had the word urban in it.
Yeah.
He was like, shout out to urbans.
Right.
I guess maybe because he grew up in public housing, that was the one connective tissue. He's like, well, he grew up like that. It was a vastly different time.
Yeah. But
it's such a massively important position that it just. again, it makes sense because everybody who had a massively important position just came from the fucking swamp and just were like, hi, I need to just, I don't want to do anything, but I want a job.
Right.
And like Scott Pruitt, he did a good job of completely fucking up the EPA and having a laugh about it.
But he, I mean, you would think because Ben Carson is not traditionally qualified for the position, he would be like Scott Pruitt, like aware that people are paying attention to him and, you know, like working extra around the clock, trying to figure out how to get it in.
I think he's smart enough to know, like, I can stay in the job if I stay out of the headlines. And how do I do that? Right. By not doing anything. And I'll never generate any controversy because I will do nothing.
Right.
And that is precisely what he's been doing because we just got a 31-week schedule of his to see what the fuck he's been up to. And my man has been doing nothing.
That is unfortunately one of the more like effective people who have been appointed because at least he hasn't been like imploding it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
but just nothing has improved and nothing has changed.
Right.
And nothing
I mean, he's definitely had some, he's made some shitty decisions on certain things, but not in the aggressive way that'll be like policy people are like, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But not like where Pruitt's like, hi, go get this mattress for me.
Right.
You know, or like, oh, can you give me those Dean and DeLuca like snacks I like on the Secret Service dime? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they looked at this calendar through a Freedom of Information Act request and they basically said, you know, they looked at a lot of the Fridays. For the most part, he worked a 8 or 9 hour day. But on Fridays, baby, he had to keep those days holy because my man can't work too much. So they said when they were looking at it, for 5 of the Fridays, he was off or had no appointments.
He had 3-day weekends?
5 more Fridays, he left before 2 p.m. to get to the airport to fly to South Florida, where he owns a $4.3 million mansion.
Mm.
For the remaining 6 they were looking at, he had no scheduled appointments past 3 p.m., and in all, he made a dozen weekend trips to South Florida during the 31 weeks. And they also just said, also, you know, he only huddled up with Housing and Urban Development senior staff once a week.
Mm.
But other departments like transportation, treasury, labor, they were doing it either, you know, daily or multiple times a week meeting up. Because, you know, he can't really be bogged down with work.
Right.
And just a few other, you know, he liked to, when he'd have lunch, like with one of the authors of like Chicken Soup for the Soul or like the fucking My Pillow guy when he was in New York. So
wait, he knows My Pillow guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're great friends. And
I wanted,
that's what he would do.
I expected more of My Pillow guy.
Wait, who's the My Pillow guy?
I don't know, but if he's friends
with...
It's
that infomercial. Never seen that?
You've had
no.
Honestly, I've had a MyPillow for years, and I love that shit. No.
Oh, really?
MyPillow fucks with Ben Carson. I love my MyPillow.
Well, he's also a big Trump dude, too.
I need to be more critical of who I'm buying my pillows from.
Yeah, but who? I mean, he looks so enthusiastic about those pillows.
He loves those pillows,
yeah, how
and
can
he
you
makes
blame
a
him?
Great pillow. It's hard. It's hard.
I mean, look. You
sacrifices
know,
have to be
hey,
made.
Hey, pillows over politics is what I would say. Because you got to rest your head on one.
Wasn't there also a controversy where they were spending a lot of money on redoing the office?
Yes,
this is something that never happens. Like the person comes in and is like, we need to redesign the shit out of this place.
Right.
Like it's usually a long, like decades in between any redesigns. But every Trump person just came in and was like,
no.
This isn't going to do.
They're like, I can spend money? Okay.
Yeah.
I think he spent, it was something like he was about to spend $30,000 on furniture. And like one of them was like a table that was over 10K or something like that.
And then he blamed it on his wife.
Yeah. And then he's like, I don't know, my wife, I don't even know I was about to do Trump. But just, you know, she handles that. So you're going to have to ask her.
She handles the table budget?
Mm-hmm.
Like passing
no,
it off.
She doesn't.
Yeah. And then even like after all of this, like NBC was the one who first reported on this. Ben Carson had a reply. He just said, while the role of a cabinet secretary is to advise the president and run their agency, the role of NBC seems to be spinning incomplete information and misinforming the public.
Oh, you
looks
got
like
burnt,
we are
NBC.
Both doing our jobs.
You got fucking burnt.
Okay.
That's a Ben Carson
okay,
savage
the guy
moment.
Who said same-sex marriage is like bestiality.
Oh.
So, you know, he's got a long road ahead of him. But he's actually out in 2020. He announced fairly quickly. He's like, can't do another term.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm out.
This is exhausting.
There's kids out there who need brain surgery again.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I hope Dr. Ben can focus on that.
Bye-bye, Dr. Ben.
That is wild that he is such a... Because not only is he taking the job of somebody competent who should be doing that job, but he's removing himself from the field of pediatric neurosurgeons, which he's reportedly competent at.
Yeah.
So he's like fucking two jobs, like fucking two groups.
Oh, wow. Never thought about
yep.
it.
Yeah. So go back to what you're good at, man.
Sadly, we're like, go back to brain surgery, okay, Ben Carson?
Surgeons are a very specific set of
skills.
I don't mean to sound like Liam Neeson,
go on.
But it's like, it's more like fighter pilot than like genius. It's like you have to be good at intense situations.
Or pod racer.
Right. It's
episode
very
one,
similar.
Phantom
yeah,
Menace.
Pod racer is a good
I mean,
good example.
Sebulba, he was great with his hands.
Thank you for putting
Sebulba's
it in
got
terms
major
of
Ben
Phantom
Carson
Menace.
Vibes. Yeah, totally.
Is Ben Carson Sebulba? Fan theory.
Let's talk about the weekend that Trump had.
Okay.
Yo, he tweeted so much.
Yes.
50 something tweets, 20 retweets. You know, it spanned from retweeting like people who read about QAnon conspiracy theories, Pizzagate, another person who said the New Zealand shootings were just, you know, like a sort of a false flag to just create stricter gun laws.
Right. He didn't retweet that.
No, but just like,
theory.
Yeah, and a lot of these things were people who were like out there, those kinds of conspiracy theorists,
right.
Not journalists, but it's like, oh, these are the people in your timeline?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his,
yeah, exactly.
And I mean, his timeline basically looked like any other racist septuagenarian who has Twitter, where it's just like wacky takes.
Yeah.
There were a few things that I think inspired this tweet storm, as they call it in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them was he was trying to do a little spin
right.
because according to the mosque shooter's manifesto, he was having to do a lot of damage control because the shooter referred to Trump as, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose. So that a lot of people have been like, huh, interesting.
How do you come back from that?
Yeah. So he was, you know, he was also mad because Jeanine Pirro, who's one of his most loyal defenders on Fox News, who will fucking say anything to defend him, had her show pulled on Saturday. That upset him because, you know, after all of her Islamophobic remarks the week before and saying that, like, you know, Ilhan Omar is obviously supports Sharia law because she's a hijabi, like, was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
And Fox found a line, apparently. I think it was the advertisers leaving, not because
yeah.
they give a fuck,
yeah.
that
right.
they were like, okay, we got to pull this show on Saturday. And he was like, where'd it go? Blah, blah, blah. Because I think he really could have used Jeanine Pirro coming out on Saturday being like, now before you all want to blame the president,
right?
Let's take a moment to look, you know? And I think that's, he needed that.
I didn't know that Jeanine Pirro existed before the jinx. And
right.
God, what a journey.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
What a journey of what a
and,
piece of shit.
And she was like, took a massive L trying to prosecute him. She was like, man, he got away with it.
Hey, how are you going to convict that guy? I mean, he's a master criminal.
Right.
I think what we learned is Durst innocent.
But then,
right, Durst innocent.
Yeah.
But, and in no way is it obvious that he committed all the crimes because he was high on meth the whole time.
Yeah, and the only crime he committed was burping without covering his mouth.
Right.
Let's be real. But I think the other thing that sort of started more conversation was after all these tweets, George, why the fuck am I still married to Kellyanne Conway, got on Twitter and was like, his mental state is deteriorating.
Yes.
And was just sort of saying, like, can we please just consider what is actually going on with the president?
Right. Somebody was like, oh, this is obviously the president trying to distract from the pending drop of the Mueller report. And he was like, no, actually, it's probably like you're being too rational and you have to view it. And this is a guy, by the way, who's married to like the Trump's lead advisor,
yep.
who allegedly openly talks shit about him behind closed doors. So he has some insight, and he's basically like, no, the message is the brain disorder.
It's that his pathology.
Right. It's just his pathology speaking. Like, he is all sorts of fucked up. And I think people have called him a narcissist before. I think I called him a narcissist like 4 or 5 years ago when he was first running for president. I think that point has been made. But
and all, I think typically you always refer to him as some like, well, someone with that kind of narcissism.
Right.
Yeah.
But
right.
every time it's good once in a while to just read the symptoms just to remind yourself like how open and shut the
yeah.
case is.
Because like Juan Kett, and when they were talking about this, they were just put all those tweets and were just like, we're just going to put these things
symptoms.
Here. And they're like, hashtag we are not doctors, as they put it. But look at this list. Because, yeah, we're not doctors.
No.
But the checklist is eerie.
Yeah. A pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration and lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood. Has a grandiose sense of self-importance. is preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love, believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people, requires excessive admiration, has a sense of entitlement, is interpersonally exploitative, which reminds me of the Michael Cohen thing where he was talking about how Trump would, every time he like strong-armed somebody into accepting like less than they had agreed to, he would like see Trump get a high from it, like get a dopamine hit from learning that he had successfully fucked somebody over. Next, lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others.
That's where they got him wrong.
And then is often envious of others or believes that others are envious of him or her. Shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. It's just like,
I'm interested in where, I mean, with this election cycle already happening, where people will fall on like the Goldwater rule this time around, because there was so much talk around about it in the 2016 election of people were constantly talking about Trump's mental state and have never stopped because it seems like a legitimate issue.
Right.
Well, when you have the nuclear codes.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like it should be on the table, but it's like you don't want to be armchair diagnosing people.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that rule should change. Not that it's a hard and fast rule. It's just like a rule of ethics, basically. But the Goldwater rule, I don't have the exact wording of it, but it's basically just like that candidates shouldn't be mentally diagnosing each other, and that discussing candidates' mental state should be sort of off the, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Originates because of Barry Goldwater.
Right. So it actually applies to just any diagnosis of somebody who you haven't had an actual clinical consultation with.
Oh, like what we're doing right now.
Right.
And we're not even psychiatrists.
The Goldwater rule is the informal name given to Section 7 in the American Psychiatric Association's Principles of Medical Ethics, which states that it is unethical for psychiatrists to give a professional opinion about public figures whom they have not examined in person.
It's fine if we do it.
Yeah, well, it is.
And then it goes on. It says it is ethical for podcasters to give a professional opinion about the chodiness of someone they have not examined in person.
Well, because that is like what we are experts in.
Yeah.
Right. But it's weird. I mean, like all the psychiatrists who like back in 2016 were like, something is clearly wrong with this person, they get dumped on by fellow psychiatrists because of this rule.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it seems like maybe there should be some sort of, especially if, for the most part, except for that one kind of bogus, like, he's mentally fit. They talked to him. He's fine.
That was weird when they're like, what is this? And it was like an elephant. They're like, see, he knows what an elephant is.
Yeah. It was a lion.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Maybe I need to get some help. But yeah, it's eerie. And again, yeah, we don't want to sit here and, you know, speculate. But
I think it's fine if
when you have a pattern, right, of even like when you even look at antisocial personality disorder, of like a pervasive pattern of disregard for and violation of the rights of others, failure to conform to social norms with respect to lawful behaviors as indicated by repeatedly performing acts that are grounds for arrest. Deceitfulness, as indicated by repeated lying, use of aliases, or conning others for personal profit or pleasure. I mean, just, you don't want to, but you hope that there are people around that can, I guess. So the thing to think about is, how do you get around the Goldwater rule while, like, you know, substantively assessing this person's mental state?
Right. I mean, I don't think that's a question that's ever been like effectively addressed to someone who's currently in office. Like, if you look at, was it like Reagan's last term? Like, he was visibly suffering from dementia, and people came clean about that later. But there, at the time, it was just hidden and just concealed, and like it doesn't seem like that's ever been addressed in a way that wasn't covered to some extent by an administration.
Right. And there's the 25th Amendment, but that's obviously a really high bar to ask his cabinet to come together and, you know, remove him from office so that he can then be forced to see a psychiatrist who then gives a diagnosis that, you know, otherwise it's just impossible, because he's a sociopathological liar who's never going to.
And will like not comply with things the way a normal president would.
Right.
Well, at least Kellyanne Conway was like, I disagree with him. Her like comments or something like, Dave, did you see it? And she, without answer, she's like, oh, I was getting the kids ready, and I didn't, I don't know what the latest thing he tweeted was, but I think the president's a good man. And then later on was like, you guys should really read the Shooter's Manifesto.
And yeah, you'll see that. What the fuck was that?
It was her way of trying to be like, it wasn't about Trump. Like, her solution was to do the thing the Shooter wants people to do.
Right.
No is to read the manifesto. So it was just, you know, an odd day for right. them.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And as promised, it's time to talk Beto, you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. He had a record-breaking first day of fundraising, $6.1 million, record previously.
Because he got on that table.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
A record previously held by Bernie Sanders when he raised $5.9 million this earlier, like a couple months ago or last month.
Yeah.
So that's big news.
It's good momentum. A lot of people want to be dismissive because things are very vague,
right? Yeah.
From the Beto camp, we're like, where do you stand? I mean, we generally understand you're like, you want to fight for immigrants' rights,
right?
What else? I mean, you did say good things then, but as president, where do you see yourself going? We're still at that 10,000 foot view.
Yeah,
we'll see what that whittles down
He's
to.
Like,
but
gets on table. I'm open to him right now. I mean, just the optics of him to me is very like CVS brand Kennedy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm like,
I mean, look,
see
it's impressive to raise $6.1 million in 24 hours from small dollar donor. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I think it was all small dollar.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's running his shit the same way of just sort of like, I'm not really interested in PAC money.
Got it.
But I think with that said, also, he has probably one of the most extensive donor lists right now because of his race with Ted Cruz that brought national attention.
Yeah.
So, versus like a lot of these other candidates, like Beto probably has like the most robust small donor machine running just because of proximity to the last race. But again, not to shade the man, because that's still a lot of money and that's clearly an indication that people are really invested in him.
Yeah,
with that said, the GOP had to come for him because on St. Patrick's Day, my God, we have come full circle with the GOP, because if it wasn't people who are Muslim or immigrants or black people or LGBTQ or from shitholes or whatever other group the Republicans like to, you know, smear and disparage, mm-hmm. they've now come for the Irish. They posted his mugshot from 1998 with a crudely, like, clip-arted leprechaun hat on top.
So good.
With, like, the thing that you get, in your, like, the sort of board you hold up in your mugshot, like, meant to look like that, that just says, please drink responsibly. And it says, on this St. Paddy's Day, a special message from noted Irishman Robert Francis O'Rourke. What the f- I'm even confused.
Weird shade. I mean,
we're going anti-white racism now?
Right.
The GOP?
They got there.
What
would Representative Stephen Lynch have to say about
right,
this?
Right, exactly.
It would be a bloodbath.
I'm
just over here fuming, sorry guys.
Yeah, right? They
you
got ratioed to hell on this one. But it's just an odd, I mean, this is the whole thing. Like last time they were like, yo, but also Beto has white privilege.
Right.
And that's why Obama's better, because he's a black man who suffered.
Right. We talked last week about their Beto isn't actually woke campaign from the GOP.
Right. It's just odd. But now to be
noted
like
noted experts on wokeness.
I guess just the
Republican Party.
This like trope of like drunk Irish person is just really like what do they think is going to happen? Is that just to remind people? I think they're just trying to disarm the idea that people may think he is Latinx in some way.
Right. I think they bring that out a lot. They're like Robert Francis O'Rourke. They like to like say that instead of Beto.
Right. Well, yes.
Because they want that makes him seem.
Oh, that wasn't clear to me at all. Okay.
I guess. But then like, why do a mugshot with a leprechaun hat and be like, please drink responsibly? Unlike this drunk guy who we're saying we're connecting his Irishness to his criminal past.
Kind of a mess of a tweet attack.
Yeah.
It's not going well.
I mean, they have to put a silly hat on him to make him look not cool. Which
Yeah, because the comments are like, this is actually the hottest picture of Beto.
if the GOP is going to fucking wreck the universe, they got to get some better graphic design.
Wow.
Like, it's just, it's embarrassing.
It's lazy. Yeah, lazy clip art, lazy racism.
Embarrassing, yeah.
hot yeah. pick of Beto.
I'm just keeping my eye out.
It is a hot mugshot.
Because it does seem like they're going backwards in their racism. Like Irish, I think, were the last white group to be accepted as like a white person. So let's keep an eye on them and Italians, because that's who they'd be coming yeah. from next.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe their new social media person is a time traveler?
Mm.
Ooh.
Another
it's entirely
theory.
Possible.
I think another cool thing, if you want some pitches, something with like Geppetto, but Geppetto.
Oh,
like
yeah.
making a puppet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Ooh, okay.
But then he would be controlling the strings, whereas you want him to be the puppet of somebody.
I don't know. It all depends, baby. It's malleable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We can find. We can make
Pinocchio
it work.
Pinocchio Rourke.
Okay.
There's another one if you want to go.
Geppetto. What if he is the puppet master and the puppet?
He's working his own strings.
Both, yeah. But the strings are all tangled so as to indicate maybe it's not going
conflicts
as
of instinct,
well.
Conflicts of interest.
In-strings.
In-strings. Conflicts of in-strings.
Oh, man, I haven't slept in 3 days.
What are you, Irish, Miles?
No, I'm what Trump made fun of Joe Biden for slipping up. I don't know if that was another thing. Joe That's Biden was like...
low IQ individual.
Low IQ, all because he said, of all the people... who are running, he's like, I have the best experience of all the people who are running. Or I mean, who might possibly run. Like, he stumbled over that. And yeah. Trump's yeah. like, oh my God, can you believe it? He's probably having some kind of massive brain issue right now.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Because Trump never.
Put Janine back on. Sounds, I need my stories.
Where's
sounds
Janine?
Disorganized in thought.
Mm-hmm. Where's Janine? I need Janine. Your bangs.
Real quick.
Yeah.
We rarely come on here and do like pop culture recommendations because, you know, shit's. Subjective, but I've been recommending a show to you, Miles, for a couple weeks now. You finally
checked
did it
when
out.
You threatened me you with my livelihood.
Yes, and you liked it too. And I feel like it's not getting that much run, so I wanted to tell people to check it out. The Other Two.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew Tarver's so good in it. Yeah. I didn't know how good Drew Tarver was.
Yeah.
And just the conceit is great.
Yeah.
It's about two elder millennial scum kids whose youngest brother, who's like 14, basically becomes the new Bieber.
Right.
And them dealing with it. It's, yeah. I was really impressed. Some of the writing moments were so fucking funny to me. And again, it's one of those things. It's like I almost prioritize knowing about what's coming out on streaming platforms than I do the regular like cable networks.
So it's on Comedy Central, which is I think how it might have gotten by some people. Because,
right.
Yeah, it's
even
like
Detroiters I found out about
something.
Too late.
It's
I mean,
also what's also really hard to like stream anything on Comedy Central. It's basically impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's it's a really good show.
It's written by Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider, who were both former head writers of SNL, and Chris Kelly wrote and directed Other People, I think is what it's called. Which is
that was on what, Hulu?
That was a feature. I don't know where it was.
Oh wait, what am I thinking of?
I know what you're thinking of, and I also thought it was on Hulu. Was there a show called
Difficult People? Right? Isn't that
Julie Eichner?
Yeah.
See, I'm getting it all mixed up. Don't know what to do.
Too much content.
Right. Anyways.
Anyway, that was our lukewarm endorsement of that show. Check it out.
It's good.
It's very good.
Especially if you're an old-ass millennial like me.
And it's just, it's very joke-dense, and you'll like it. Pizza Hut and Little Caesars are in a race to kill us, it would appear.
Yeah.
Oh.
They brought back menu items that are like on the extreme end of decadent. It seems like that.
Yeah.
Which one? I've had them all for sure.
Okay. Well, the first one isn't necessarily like, you know, a hellspun mixture.
Okay.
From the Fires of Mordor, but it's the Pizzone from Pizza Hut. It's back, baby.
Was it gone?
It was gone.
Shit.
And this thing.
Oh no.
I mean, look, it's got, you know, you can get all kinds of fillings, whatever. It's for March Madness. The thing that impresses me about this.
It's basically.
It debuted 17 years ago, right?
Oh.
For $6.99. You know what the cost is now?
What?
Guess.
Is it less?
Yes. It's $5.
Wow.
So that is what I call progress.
I like that.
Where
I think it should be more affordable to kill yourself.
Where are they saving that money? Is it in the ingredients?
Oh, I'm sure. Everything has air quotes around it. It's like with sausage and onion.
I wasn't a big fan of the Pizzone. I definitely had a couple, but it was a little too dense.
Too bready.
Me. Very bready,
you know,
yeah.
It's not really delivering on the fillings. It's a little, look, this photo, a little misleading. It acts like the fillings to end, but you're going to be eating a hockey puck of bread by the end of that thing.
And yeah. Honestly, the photo doesn't even look that good. There's no cheese strings connecting it.
Yeah.
It looks like it
just looks like it.
Yeah.
Snapped in half.
Okay, well, then you might like this one.
Okay.
Okay, because okay. Little Caesars has another. They have something else for you. That didn't appeal to you? What do you like? Bacon, you freak? Well, guess what? Uh-huh. They got it. They call it the Bacon Wrap Deep, Deep Dish. Okay, it's a Detroit-style pizza, according to the press release. And it's an eight-corner, what is it called? An eight-corner deep dish pizza. I think maybe an eight-inch corner. Anyway, whatever.
Oh.
Essentially, what the thing that gets me is it's wrapped in a wall of over 3.5 feet of whole strips of thick cut crispy bacon.
What?
So it's basically like just
borders.
The borders are bacon. The top is bacon. And then on top of that, it has meat toppings.
Yeah.
So, RIP your colon, RIP your blood pressure, RIP, RIP, RIP.
I have
to try that.
Could we get one and then we could all share it maybe?
Yeah.
Or maybe we get two.
Jack has a family to think about.
This is true. They need you alive.
Look at the...
No one's living for me.
I'm ready.
Let's talk about
my
bready.
My dog can drive a car. He's fine.
This looks very bready, though. If you look at like the place where it's cut, it's not like one of those deep dishes where like the filling
like
and cheese.
It's concave.
It's just
resting on top of a bread sheet.
Yeah, sheet of bread.
Well, look, and that's why the bacon is there to make the bread more. See, because when I look at the pizzone, it just looks like straight bread.
It looks, looks kind of shitty.
With Parmesan keloids.
Yes. And finally, you guys, there's a new trend coming after Black Mirror did Bandersnatch. The interactive TV show is coming your way because that was a hit. Had a little moment, as we always say on this show. But
bit of a moan.
Bit of a moan.
With your cough.
Sav moans.
The Bandersnatch Sav moans.
Savage moans.
We were all there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. If you have Bandersnatch Sav Moan montages, let us know.
made him eat the wrong cereals.
Sav Moans.
Sav Moans.
So Netflix just announced a new show with Bear Grylls called You vs. Wild. Bear will be at the mercy of the viewer as he explores jungles and mountains and any other location they can make look more dangerous than it actually is.
Wow.
Yo, do you remember that lava cliff thing?
Fun.
He was in Hawaii when he's like, this pit, something could happen. And then like someone just went to where that was actually shot and it's like just off of a road. Like it's not even remote and it's like the stretch isn't even like harrowing. But you know, they're clever.
They hit the right angles. I was convinced.
Yeah. But I don't know, like it's sort of essentially meant to be like he would like get to like a frozen lake and be like, do I step over this or do I belly crawl over this?
And is the idea that this is happening in real time?
No, I think it's, you know, it's just like Bandersnatch. It's all pre-taped.
I hope it's real Bandersnatch and it's like, kill your dad, drink tea. But with
Bear Grylls.
Yo,
kill
he
the cameraman.
Looks weathered.
Where's he been?
I
the
from
woods?
What it looks like,
meth.
Asleep in the desert with no sunscreen.
Oh, wow.
It is. I mean, look, the man has been out here in the wild for a while, so.
Yeah.
He's not really out there with La Mer moisturizer every night.
He's not getting Botox in the wild.
No, and I don't know what his night regimen is, but can I suggest some kind of serum?
Moisturizer.
Bear Grylls, do not drop your skin routine. We don't need it.
I mean, it's an interesting idea because this is like, you can almost act out your like wild man fantasies through the show. And be like, maybe I do know how to survive. And then inevitably, there's probably got to be things that will get Bear into trouble.
Right.
But nobody asked for this.
Yeah.
But I'm still, you know, sometimes.
But I don't hate it.
No, sometimes, just like that bacon wrap pizza. I didn't know I needed that.
Yeah.
Until somebody forced it on me.
I'll give that a fair shake.
Were you ever a fan of like Man vs. Wild?
Not when it was airing. But like it was one of those shows that where it was on, I would never turn it off. I never turned, but I would never seek Bear, but when Bear found me, I would let it happen.
Is Bear Grylls canceled? What happened to him? Was the biggest controversy just that he was faking stuff? Because I know he was like sleeping in luxury hotels and shit during the filming of Man vs. Wild.
I think that doesn't bother me.
Yo, he's fucking at this hotel right now. I mean, whatever, it's TV. I actually feel bad for people who are like, wow. This guy's really doing it because TV is real.
Well, he's like the son of a British conservative. I'm sure there's some fucked up stuff in there. I honestly don't know that much about the life of Bear Grylls.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll find out.
We will.
That is what we need, a biopic of yes. Bear Grylls. This makes me just raise an eyebrow at Netflix. Like, what is this where we're at? We're at, like, Bear Grylls?
Yeah.
That sort of seems like they spun a wheel. They're like, okay, interactive. Okay, right. People who are going to be brought out of retirement at some point. Yeah. Bear Grylls.
Does he look Love like it. A mixture of Christian Bale and Shia LaBeouf?
Ooh, I buy that. I see the Christian Bale a lot.
I see a lot of Shia in there, too. Anyway, you tell us what face math equations you've came up with. I gotta go, dude.
Miles always cummed up.
I've cummed up. Hey, I cummed up with that idea last week. Oh my God, sir.
Cummed up the works on that one. Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you as always.
Leave him on that.
Thanks for having me.
Go out on top, you know?
Leave him laughing.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on twitter.com at Jamie Loftus. Help.
The microblogging site?
I've been microblogging about half my life. that was upsetting to think about. But and on Instagram at Jamie Cry Superstar.
Yeah. Great follow. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. I tweet that I like a couple. One is from Guy Branum. It says, the body positivity movement is by and for extremely conventionally hot people who suffer from sometimes not feeling quite as conventionally hot as they know they are. Right. Your struggle is real. Don't let anyone silence you.
Right.
Real Damn. Guy with coming with it.
Guy, savage moment. Sav we all mom. Know who he's thinking of when he writes that too.
And then another one was just a video, but it's just kind of funny because whenever Chicago dyes that river green for St. Patrick's Day, great. But someone at Two Claws Media, it says, you, oh, look, they dyed the river green. Me, an artist, oh, look, they dyed the river chroma key green. And chroma key green is industry green talk screen. For what the color of the green screen is. So this video is just this person just putting all kinds of other shit in the river. I thought it was very clever.
I've got a Danny Fernandez tweet.
Do it.
That came from the J.K. Rowling, person I love to roast, the J.K. Rowling stuff that happened over the weekend where she once again popped her head out of the sand and was like, Dumbledore and Grindelwald fucked hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't say that because I know who you're talking about, but who came on was just sort of saying, like, I think it was Danny who points that out, is that she'll just, that J.K. Rowling just likes to be like, oh, and here's this thing.
I've talked about it as well. It makes me so, I'm not a fan of Harry Potter.
Oh, maybe it was you, yeah.
So when someone's always editing the one good thing they wrote to be like, but there were queer After people and people of color. Yeah, you just never saw them in the books or in the movies. But so she popped her head out. She's like, they fucked hard.
and they have a really awesome house in Palm Springs.
Right.
So there were all these tweets over the weekend, but I loved Danny's, where it's like, me, says nothing. J.K. Rowling, Hagrid has paid for feet pics. So good.
You can find me on Twitter, the also same microblogging site that Jamie writes for, at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Kyle at Kyle Plant Emoji tweeted, setting barbecue joint. Her, what's your opinion on brisket? Me, wiping sauce on my shirt. I don't actually know a lot about UK politics. and then by your logic tweeted world historically bad hypothetical, and I don't know where it's from, but someone tweeted a picture of a fruit plate and then, if you were offered $20,000 to eat this whole fruit platter by yourself in 1 week, would you be able to do it? It like looks like it would take you maybe 40 minutes to do it. It's like the easiest. So fucking
wait, what was the amount?
1 week and $20,000. It's like it would be the, like you would accidentally eat it in a week if it was in your refrigerator. And then also Britt Bennett tweeted, first kid up at the sleepover is a personality type. And
damn.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles?
You know, a few weeks ago, we played a song that was this album with Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Shout out to Polish, Korean, biracials out there. And Danger Mouse. And the album came out. It's pretty good. And this is a track off the new album Lux Prima. And it's called, wouldn't you know it, Lux Prima.
Whoa.
So check it out, y'all.
A song that the album is named after?
I've never seen anything like this. Can you think of another album that did that?
Wait, she's half Korean?
Yeah, she's half Korean and half Polish.
Oh, about
yeah, a lot of people don't know, but see, us half Asians, we keep an eye out there for each other. Oh, yes.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
I'm no